I've written on the board the Comforter. I'm so thankful today that to be able to share the beauty of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the personal nature of the gospel. And because of all of that, it is a message of hope. It's a message of hope for every single one of us here today. A number of months ago, preached a message on the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to revisit the topic of the Holy Spirit, giving particular attention to the Holy Spirit being our comforter. A comforter is one that reassures. A comforter is one that renews courage. It is one that understands, and it is there to help with our best interest at heart. When I was thinking about this, inspired with this message today, I was remembering, and I shared it with some of you some time back, well, it was years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I was having a computer issue, and I'd called the helpline to get some help with it, and the first person, they ask you all this information, and you give all this information, and by the time we got to the end, they were of no help to me. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to elevate it. Well, I was glad to hear they were going to elevate it because where I was at wasn't working. So he said, you'll get a call back. So pretty soon or at some time, I got a call back, and it had been elevated, but the same thing happened. Gave them all this information, and they asked all these questions, and we got to the end, and no help. Tried to find the solution, no help. They said, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to elevate it. Well, I didn't know how far things could be elevated. And by this time, I was getting a little bit tried. And so finally, I got this other call. And I answered the phone, and I start telling him about everything that had happened. And he could discern a little bit of a sense of urgency in my voice. And he very calmly said, hey man, relax. He said, you've reached the expert. You have been elevated to the place of where the experts sit. Just relax. Well, he acted pretty confident in it, and you know what? He was the expert, and it was not long at all, and he went straight to the problem, and he fixed the problem. And this morning, I want you to know that when we get in touch with the Master, when we get to the place where we open up our hearts and our lives that the Holy Spirit can come in to our lives, then whatever problems we are facing in life, we have put ourselves in a position where the one that is above all is there to help us. And he is there to say, relax. This is the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to help you. And I want all to be encouraged this morning that if somebody's here today and you feel like you have explored all manner of solutions for the problem that you have in life, whatever it is, I want to encourage and reassure you today that there is an answer. And it is that we make space and room for the Holy Spirit, that the Lord might help us with whatever it is that we're facing. Back in the Old Testament, there was a young man that seemed to have a lot going for him. His father loved him. He was favored by his father. He seemed to be kind of a carefree sort of an individual. He ended up with a coat of many colors. He was a dreamer. He dreamed about himself and places that he would be in life that seemed to put him in a pretty good spot. His name was Joseph. But there came a day that he ran into something like he had never experienced before. And that should have been a strength to him, something that should have been something that he could count on, his family, his brothers, they cast him into a pit. They put him in isolation. And I can only imagine what it must be to be in that sort of place. Without power, alone, no way out, solitary confinement. I suppose this morning that one of the most powerful causes of despair. Have you ever felt despair? I have this feeling that one of the most powerful causes of despair are those times when you feel an overwhelming sense of aloneness. Without power, while you face a challenge, a difficulty in life that is bigger than you are. Sometimes facing life where you're endeavoring to find fulfillment, and yet it seems like that the odds are stacked against you in finding fulfillment and purpose and security in this life. Maybe given past decisions that you've made, you feel like there's no way out. You may feel like you're in a pit and alone and powerless. With that comes despair. And this morning, the Lord has an answer for that. And that's what I would like to think about today. I'm inspired to remind us of a very special part of God's provision that He made to take care of His children, and that is the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit, which is our Comforter. God established a plan a long time ago, begin to establish a plan that we might be filled with His Spirit. And maybe as a little bit of review, if you remember, back when the Lord gave plans to Moses to build the tabernacle, there was a place that was called the Holy of Holies. And it was the innermost part of the tabernacle. And there were places of the tabernacle where others could come, but they were not able to go into the Holy of Holies, which was way in the innermost part. And that is where the Spirit of God dwelt. And it is where the mercy seat was, and it's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And only one time a year was the high priest, at that time Aaron, was able to go into that place where the Spirit of God dwelt. It was a place of promise. It was a place of power and forgiveness. And it was a place of righteousness. And it wasn't an idea. It wasn't just an idea. It wasn't just a thought that was put together. But But it was a place where there was a very real, alive presence of the Holy Spirit that dwelt in that place. And with time, you know the story. With time, God gave plans for a permanent, beautiful temple to be built in Jerusalem. Gave it to King David. But because of King David and the blood that had been shed at his hand, he was a man of war. He wasn't the one that was given to build it, but the plans were given to him. He gave the plans to his son Solomon. And Solomon built the temple according to the plans of God. And I would like to read to you a description of what happened during the dedication of that temple to God. And you can find it in 2 Chronicles 7. And we're just going to read a few verses here. But it said in 7:1, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying," put yourself in this place. This is not a story that was made up. This is history. This happened. Try the best you can to put yourself in this place where this temple was made for the glory of God. And they all gathered together, all the people. There was many, many people that gathered together at this time to offer the sacrifice to God and to dedicate this temple to God and for what He was and for what He was to them. And so they were all gathered together at this place. And it said, when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Fire came down of its own accord. They didn't have to light a match and blow on it and try to get it. Fire came down from heaven, from God's power, and it consumed the sacrifice, the offering. And it said, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And it was too much for men to be able to enter in at that time. And it said, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And it's the same mercy today that was back then, and it is the same power today that was manifested back then, is the same power of heaven that is able to come down and to accept the sacrifices that we offer up from our heart to God in heaven. And the 12th verse said that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And as we're talking about this, think about what it all represents. The Lord coming in with His presence and His power and His glory and choosing that place for His presence to dwell. And He said, if My people, which are called by My name, if you will be willing to humble yourselves and pray and seek My face, if you're willing to be a holy people, don't be afraid of holiness. Embrace holiness. If you'll be a people that are consecrated and dedicated and be willing to be set apart unto Me, that's what holiness is. If you're willing to be My people, if you're willing to be called by My name and you'll pray to Me and you will seek My face with the whole of your life and your heart, and we can all do that. It's not outside of any of our ability to do that. We can all be a holy people. We can all be a people that say, Lord, Lord, would You come into my heart? Lord, I want to be Your temple. Lord, would You, Lord, I know I'm just human, and Lord, there's so much about my life that it needs help, but God, oh, would You, I want to be open for Your Spirit to come in and for Your power to rest in my life. And Lord, I want to be able to have the righteousness of God in my life because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if we will do that, If you will be willing to do that, and you can, that's the good news of the gospel. It's the hope of the gospel this morning. It's offered to all that are here today. It's offered to all of the world, regardless of your background. If my people who are called by my name, if you'll humble yourself and you'll recognize your great need, and you pray and you seek my face, and turn away from your ways, your wicked ways, and say, no, Lord, I want to follow you. And Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Lord, would you forgive me of those places in my life that's not right? And Lord, would you help perfect me in you in this journey of life? Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, thank God, and will heal their land. This is personal. This presence of the Holy Spirit was personally manifested here, and it was powerful and it was divine. But, however, even during this time and at this place, the common man was not able to go where the presence and the Spirit of God was, because he was so righteous and we were so unrighteous. And the plan of redemption had not yet been fulfilled, and we weren't able to stand before the presence of God and live. But then this wonderful day came. This horrific day came. It was a wonderful day and it was a horrific day all at the same time. When Jesus Christ was willing to go a little farther, and he was willing to submit to the will of God, and he was willing to die on the cross that our sins might be forgiven and that he would make an atonement for your unrighteousness, for my unrighteousness, and that he would be able to bring grace, unmerited favor of God that we didn't deserve. In our unrighteousness and our sin, we didn't deserve it. And Jesus said, I'll pay the price. And the fullness of time had come. And Jesus stretched forth his hands and willingly allowed his life to be crucified on a cross. And he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost and he died, it said that that veil that was in the temple that we just talked about, the temple that had the Spirit of God in the Holy of Holies, that divine, powerful presence of God, righteous, that dwelt in that innermost place. When Jesus said, it is finished, that covering, that separation, that separated the presence of God from me and from you and from all of those that would say, Lord, if it was just available, I would open my heart's door and accept you. But yet there was a veil that separated. But when Jesus said, it's finished, that veil on its own, that curtain, it was rent in two. And you know what happens when you have a curtain that's stretched from each side, held up, and somebody cuts it in half? It falls apart, and it opens up, and the Spirit of God went out of that place, no longer needing to be in a place separate from whosoever will. And it went out in preparation to then enter into the hearts of all that would say, Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll humble myself before you. Lord, I pray before your holy throne. Lord, I'm going to seek your face. And to all of those that would do that from their heart, the Spirit of the Lord was made available to then come and not dwell in a temple made with hands, but come and dwell in our very lives. The power, the comfort, the righteousness, a dear friend who wanted to come help us navigate life and to make it in successfully to the other side. And so it was foretold that this would happen in John. Well, it was from a long time ago. There were types and shadows of it, but before Jesus ascended, before he ascended, let's read what he told his disciples in the 14th verse. He knew he was getting, or 14th chapter, he knew he was getting ready to go. He knew that his disciples were going to feel alone. He knew that his disciples were going to face hardship. He knew that his disciples were going to face doubt and fear and questions and their own humanity, just as we face doubts and questions and our own humanity. And Jesus knew he was going to depart from them. And so he said in the 16th verse, he said, and he was telling his disciples this, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus Christ will come to us through his Holy Spirit. And the 26th verse says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. He's going to help you. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. Peace, not condemnation, not hardship, not I'm going to find ways to cut you off, but to all of those that will follow, to all of those that will give their heart to Jesus, he says, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. You can try to go find solutions and call the 1-800 number for help. And when they get done, you're still going to have the same trouble you had before. And the world says, well, it's been elevated. Go to another place. We got another call. Here, call this number right here. This probably is what's going to do it for you. We can go through life doing that. That is the peace that the world gives and it never satisfies. But Jesus said, I bring you something that is above and beyond what you can ever find in the world. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And so then he said, be at rest. Let not your heart be troubled. There's no reason to be afraid. And then in the 24th chapter of Luke, we won't turn there, but he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. He told them to go do that after I've ascended. He said, I want you to go into Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power from on high. And so they went to Jerusalem. And you read in the second chapter of Acts, you find where the Spirit of God once again came down from heaven. And it came down into that physical room where people were dwelling, that were humbling themselves and were praying and were seeking the face of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit came down in a powerful way and moved upon those that were there and took up residence in their lives. And folks, the Spirit of God has been on the move ever since that day, looking for every single soul that would be willing to turn away from all the solutions that this world has to offer and make their primary objective to get in touch with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has been on the move, working and doing things that men and women could never do on their own. And He does it because He loves us. Brothers and sisters, this morning, my message to you from God today is that we would reflect and that we would consider the power that works within us when we are facing those things in life and we don't know how we're going to get through it. We don't know what the solution is. Sometimes that mountain that we face, most often the mountain that we face is the one that looks at us in the morning in the mirror. And the Lord says, don't be fearful. Be at peace. I want to go with you. I'll come in and I'll dwell with you. Let's not forget who our captain is. Let's not forget who's leading us. It's the Holy Spirit of God. What hope? What assurance? What comfort? How was it again that Jesus described His Holy Spirit? Did He say, "And I will send the condemner to make sure that you are kept in the way of life. And I will judge you and persecute you and discipline you and cause you to earn your way into heaven if ever you're able to get in." Is that how He described it? No. He said, "I will send you the Comforter. I will send you my Spirit, who has come to reassure, who has come to bring salvation." Yes, sometimes He disciplines, and He does it with love, He does it with care, and He does it with the intent to help us make it home. If we don't have the Spirit of God this morning, y'all, we are going to miss out on receiving from the Master's table. And we will live lives unfulfilled. We will live lives with repeated disappointment. We will live lives where our hope is continually dashed with the reality of the insufficiency of what this world has to offer. But if we will place ourselves at the feet of Jesus and humble ourselves, "Lord God in heaven, I am but human. Lord, I am unrighteous. Lord God, I need help. I need forgiveness. Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to learn of You. Lord, I'm going to seek Your face." If we'll do that and we'll mean it, He can be our God and we can be His people, filled by the very same Spirit and power that came down in these places that we read about. Folks, it's the Spirit that gives life. The Scripture tells us that. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. And that is the reason why we are exhorted to draw nigh unto God. Draw closer to God. And if we'll do that, He'll draw closer to us. God wants to be our personal comforter and our guide. But we must give Him unfettered space in our lives, folks. We have to be willing to give the Spirit of God room. The Holy of Holies was not a place for a catch-all. The Holy of Holies in the temple was not a place that for everything that looked appealing to the eyes and sounded good to the ears and tasted good to the mouth, that they could take it and put it in the Holy of Holies because there was space. They couldn't do that. The Holy of Holies had to be a place that was consecrated for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. And so it is today, folks, that we have to be willing to give God space in our lives. That we don't do it casually. That we don't just do it when it's convenient. That it's not just a second thought or a priority among priorities, but that above everything else, we say, Lord, I want to be a temple of God that is accepted of you. And that we are deliberate and intentional about making space that the Spirit of God can live and work in our lives. That we turn the knob of noise and music and distractions and justification for delay. Turn it down. And be willing to get quiet before God. So that when He knocks, behold, I stand at the door. And I knock because I love you and I want to help you. And I see the need that you have in your life. And by the way, I know what's ahead of you and you don't know what's ahead of you. And I have the answer for that. And I want you to live on an elevated plane where the Master is in control of your life so that I can help you through these times and be a comfort to you and reassure you and give you divine power from on high that the world cannot give. And so the Lord, He's out there and He's knocking on our door and He's hoping and He's desiring that we get quiet and that we make space and that we make Him a priority. And that we come however we are without delay. You can't be a Christian until you get Jesus in your life. Don't be pulled into the trap where you feel like you have to live like a Christian before you can then come to God to meet Him. That's what He came for. Come just as I am. Just as I am, come unto me. And let me help you, Jesus says. Let me give you that which you can't find in the world, that will give you the power and the help and the strength to overcome those things in your life that you see no way out. Perhaps you feel despair and alone and powerless. And that you think that somehow you have to rid yourself of that before you can come to Jesus. Listen, folks. Jesus is the one that came to help rid you of that. We have to come to Him with our all and who we are. With faith and confidence. Give Him space in our lives. And if we'll do that, and if we'll be willing to say, Lord, I want to be set apart unto you. And I want to follow you. And I'm going to yield my all. And we turn the noise knobs down and give God space. And we open the door and say, Lord, would you come in? He said, I will come in to you. And I'll sup with you. And I'll feed you. And I'll comfort you, and I'll reassure you, and I'll give you courage, and I'll give you power that you otherwise cannot find in the world. And we'll walk together through the rest of life until I can usher you into the place that I have prepared for you. This morning, let's give the Spirit of God more room and more space in our lives. Let's purpose to do that. Let's listen for His voice and let's readily move when He nudges us. Let's seek His face and let's trust Him because He is the Master. And it is a gift of God that is intended to be for our joy and our comfort that we receive the Holy Spirit of God. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Were Paul's words. And if you have received the Holy Spirit since you've believed, have you continued to give the Holy Spirit a place in your life that is elevated above all others? I want to be true today. I want the Spirit to have its way in my life. Pray for me.